Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
We are delighted to have a powerful life story for you today. Over these past few weeks, we've been enjoying this series of Advance, and we've spoke about how we can overcome and how we can deal with our fears, how we can live by faith, and we can get ready to walk into all God has for us. And throughout these few weeks, we've been pretty real and spoke about the challenges that we all face and how God can help us to keep moving forward. And today we're delighted that Ken and Adele Smart are with us, and they're going to tell us a little bit about their story, about how God has helped them to keep on moving, even in the most challenging of times. Kenny and Adele, thank you so much for being with us today. We're glad that you're here, and we're glad that you're part of our church family. And you guys have had an incredible story of God's goodness and faithfulness through some of the most challenging of times. But before we get to that today, could you maybe just tell us how you guys got together and how you guys first met? Adele, why don't you tell us the truth, and then maybe Kenny can tell us his version as well.
Should be another way.
Well, I worked at Waterside from about the age of 16, I think. Mm-hmm. And when I was 19, Kenny came to work as a chef. And he was off a fine. It was fine. But we got to know each other then, and we've been together ever since. Okay. Since then. When we worked at Waterside, there was a whole crew that worked there. Matthew, Abby, Paul, to name a few, mm-hmm. who are members of our church, worked at the Waterside at the same time. So it was a nice wee group. Actually, Matthew and Jennifer and Paul and Wendy all met around the same time. Whoa. And started Gannut.
So how many years ago was that then?
It was 22 this year.
Wow. And so who made the first move? Kenny, were you the guy who made the first move?
And the second move, and the third move, and the fourth move. she made me work for.
There you go. And obviously, she was charmed by your persistence.
Or just finally gave in.
She gave in. So you've been in the kitchen all your working career almost,
think. Yeah, 27 years, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, always been a chef. Since 15 years old.
Come on.
And I came to Waterside just for 3 months. Uh-huh. I was going to France, and I met Adele, and stayed forever.
Come on.
He's never been to France.
Still never been to France.
Well, maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Maybe you will end up there. And Adele, look at yourself. What have you done in your career?
Well, worked at Waterside. Uh-huh. Was doing hospitality management, actually, at Waterside. But when we bought our first house, I realised that maybe was not a career for somebody that wanted to be a wife and have kids and just be a wife and mum. Mm. I didn't want to nae work, but the hours was just, they were ridiculous. And when you're young and you haven't got anybody relying on you, that's fine. Mm. But I just found it really difficult. So I changed career to nursing. And I went to work in a private nursery. Mm-hmm. And then I got a chance of a job working with children with additional needs in Aberdeen. Okay. At the Raden Centre, which is no longer there, but I was working with the NHS. And I've continued since 2007. I've been with NHS. So still a nursery, just different.
And you guys have been part of our church for many years now. Do you remember how you first came to church and what that journey was?
I mean, we first came to church. I first came to church, and it wasn't even through you know, people you would have thought that we met all that years ago at the Waterside, it was actually Adele's granda that asked me to come to church, and I said yes, and then we started going. And after we got married, we really made a conscious effort to say, like, we're going to go to church. And then, just, I suppose, how we ended up at Apex is your story.
Yeah, I was at working at nursery, and one of the mums said, you know something, your husband works at weekends, you would be great on a Friday night at Mega. Could you come and help? And then when I got there, I realised it was Matthew and Jennifer that run Mega. And it was a relief because you've already got at point of contact. You're like, oh, that's Ken, that's great. And Matthew then asked if we'd like to go along to an evening service. And we went along. And what we didn't realise way back then is God had already got people in place to help us advance into church easily. The relationships were there. So we had, like, people there that we felt comfortable with and welcomed us with open arms. And that was when we started going to New Hope. And then obviously we've transitioned out of white here. With
come on, and you guys are active in so many different areas of our church life. And you're blessed with two beautiful kids as well. A boy and a girl. And what ages are Charlotte and Nathaniel?
So Charlotte's 11 and Nathaniel's 6. Both very different from each other. Charlotte's the angel, and that's all we'll say. No, I'm just very different. Charlotte's very quiet and very restrained and thinks more, and Nathaniel just hits the road running at 110 miles per hour.
Well, they're both a lot of fun, and they're a real blessing to us. And hey, today we're talking about how we can keep moving forward during challenging seasons of life. And there was a few years ago, Kenny, there was something that you noticed that something wasn't right in yourself. Can you tell us today just a little bit about what that involved?
Yeah, I'd kind of been having just some symptoms of things where I wasn't able to swallow, and things were getting stuck when I was trying to eat. And I knew something wasn't quite right. All good husbands, I hid it from my wife for as long as I possibly could before she finally caught on. And then I went to the doctor, and the doctor kind of said, okay, we'll put you for further tests. I went and got a camera put down into my stomach, and they found a tumour. And I then, obviously, things kind of took a bit of a drastic turn in life, and I was back and forth to Aberdeen, getting more and more tests and getting different scans and blood tests and cameras and ultrasounds, and it was a little bit scary for a few months.
So when you realised that something wasn't right and you got that, you're going through that time, you're not able to swallow. Now that must have been quite a challenge for a chef, and having to obviously be surrounded by food and I guess taste the food that you're making. It's one of the perks of the job, I suppose. That must have been quite challenging, knowing that every time you were trying to eat something, you knew that this wasn't maybe going to go down and you were going to have to choke. And that must have been quite a challenge.
Yeah, I kind of just got quite good at, it's not a good thing to do, but I got quite good at hiding it. And even, hiding it from Adele, hiding it from people at work. And but unfortunately sometimes, not unfortunately, but people did, especially like chefs that were close, like my second chef or senior chefs in the kitchen, kind of caught on and were like, what's going on? And then obviously Adele as well was noticing things that I couldn't even finish a whole meal without having to be excused. And so it was tough. It was
So tell us then about that moment when you went for a test and the doctor does the examination and realise that there's something there. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what he said?
What I thought was going to be quite a quick procedure. I didn't choose sedation, I didn't choose any kind of numbing in my throat or anything, so I literally thought he would be down there for a couple of minutes. So did he. And ended up being down, like, within my stomach and my esophagus for around about 40 minutes, 45 minutes. Which still, I was kind of still lying there thinking everything was fine. When he had finished, it was really uncomfortable. It wasn't the nicest experiences. I kind of got myself dressed again and, you know, and put my shoes and things back on and went through, and he said, you know, Mr. Smart, take a seat. I was like, no, because you only get bad news when you're told to take a seat. I'll just take it standing up. And he said, look, I've got bad news. I've found something in your esophagus. It's not looking good. I'll send this on. We've taken biopsies, taken pictures, but prepare yourself for the worst. And as I left, he says, I hope. I just remember his face, and you can kind of read someone's face, and it was, I hope everything turns out okay for you. And I was like, oh, this isn't going to be good. This is not great.
Yeah, words that you never went to.
No, nothing when you expect it's just going to be, they're going to be like, yeah, it's just, you know, stomach acid, or, you know, it's just, someone else has said, oh, it might just be your gullet needs stretched or something. Yeah. All the things that you think were bad enough, but no, this was, it was quite, yeah, it wasn't the best of outcomes.
And I guess there came that moment where you had to tell Adele the news. And Adele, how did you feel when Kenny shared what the doctor had told him?
I was obviously upset. But through the whole thing, I was determined that he wouldn't ken how upset I was, because I was not a need for that. He was upset enough. so I just knew that we had to battle on, we had to keep going, and everything was going to be fine. So it just was. So there was no chance it wasn't going to be fine, because it was.
so you obviously were incredibly strong for Kenny during that time, and a great support. But you also, you know, you didn't rely on yourselves. You turned to God during that as well. And Kenny, can you tell us how the power of prayer, even in that day when you got that news, how there was someone there to pray for you in that moment?
I mean, I came out, it was in Peterhead, it was at the medical centre, and it's a walk, maybe, I don't know how long it is, half a mile to Symposium Coffee Shop, which is at Lido, and I walked to there, and when I got there, Adele had already left, because she'd went to get the car to come pick me up, because I was not feeling great, because we're going to have coffee and just a bit nice time. Well, I walked in, and there sitting was Eddie Bunnett. Eddie Bunnett obviously seen that something was distressing me, so I kind of opened up a little bit. And, you know, he was like, I don't care where we are, let's just pray right now. So he prayed for me in right in the middle of the symposium. And then Pastor Neil turned up, prayed for me in the car park. And then, so Neil basically, you know, had said, you're coming to our prayer meeting that evening. Mm-hmm. Came to the prayer meeting that evening, and prayer. Yeah, and I was getting prayer from all over the country. Yep. People were praying for me in other countries. It was quite surreal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, prayer was the thing that really just, you know, that and, well, you know, other things, praise and worship was a big thing for us, but yeah, prayer was the thing. It just lifted me and, well, lifted my family and just carried us forward and, you know, advanced us in our...
I remember that prayer meeting, and that was a powerful time.
It was.
And we were really believing and asking God to do a miracle, because as you shared, the news that you received that day, it wasn't great, but we believe that God was able to turn that around. And
I think his strength, sorry, for that prayer meeting was built us up.
Yeah.
It helped us believe we could tackle us easily because we had this behind us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think up.
Yeah.
Because in some odd days, my prayer was, Father God, fix it. Mm. And that was it. Mm. I had no other word, fix it. And I'd repeat that over and over, God, you need to fix it, fix it. But I knew that our prayers was gone for out of country, like Kenny said as well. So for me, I knew my fix it, he knew I needed him to fix.
And even by saying that, you'd faith that he was able to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just turned down to God and I said, I'm not strong enough to do this on my own, so I'm just going to hand it over to you, because you're big enough and strong enough for both of us. So I knew if I tried to tackle this on my own without having God, a church, prayer behind me, it probably wouldn't have the same outcome.
So even in those days where maybe your spirit was low, and you could look to those moments where you'd seen the power of prayer, and that it was an encouragement to you. And hey, I'm sure that the journey obviously went on, and you had a lot of visits into hospital and more tests, and it must have been quite tiring. But also, Adele, you've two young children at this point as well. How did you manage to navigate that season?
I take my children where I go. They just come. Since they've been babies, our parents work. We didn't have really the option not to have our children with us unless it meant somebody taking time after work. So I packed up picnics and bags of tricks. Mm-hmm. And we just went to the hospital with Nathaniel in a pushchair at a time and Charlotte toddling along beside me, and they just came. I remember on one occasion sitting outside, you're a good father, blaring in a wee picnic and at wee Bray outside Forrester Hill Hospital. Like, I mean, people must have thought she's lost the plot. But I just had to keep going, and my kids had to think that everything was normal, because there was no chance they were thinking things weren't normal. Mm-hmm. So we were just in a picnic and playing with things. But looking back, how normal it looked, I'm not very sure. But to us, it felt like this was our normal, and it just had to be. So
it just became normal, unfortunately. Yeah.
And even during that season, I wonder, what you obviously knew the power of prayer, but was there anything else that helped you have hope? Was there specific moments that you look back to now and that was significant, that helped us to keep on going?
Definitely. I was one specific moment. I went to the Cherish conference with my mum and Nathaniel, and Kenny was actually cooking at Taste of Grumpy, yeah, and was you doing a dem? Yeah. And you had Charlotte for at a weekend, but we had managed to get somebody to watch her when he was cooking. And I phoned home for Cherish and I said, it's going to be okay. Mm. We were together worshipping today and it's going to be okay, because they played a song, mm-hmm, and I know it's going to be okay, Kenny, because the song they played was...
And I'd had the same song in my head all day.
Wow.
And I just couldn't get it out. Just, you know, when you're just going to, mm-hmm, sing in a little bit the words or whistling in.
But you answered it. You knew.
I knew. And it was Life Worship, and it was Dance Again. Mm. And the words are, you know, your scars will heal, your tears will dry, and you will dance again. And that was God confirming, just telling us both that, mm-hmm, it was going to be tough, and it was tough, but we were going to come through this. We were going to, it wasn't this, what the doctors were thinking was not the end, and there was another story to come at the end of it.
And we were going to dance again. It was the promise there. So.
Which nobody wants to see.
Well, I guess though, in the midst of the hope, there must have been some fears as well.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I think we both put on a brave face for each other. Mm. And obviously having young kids, you didn't want them to see that something was wrong. But I do think, you know, and it's my auntie is a pastor in a church, and she phoned me one night. She'd phone me often and just pray with me down the phone or speak to me, or bits of scripture that had came into. And she said, you know, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of the valley of death, but you're not in the actual valley, you're just in the shadow. And God is going to walk you right out the other side. And it's funny, the other day, we both seen it, and it was speaking about the same thing. You know, when you're on the mountain tops and everything's great and everything's rosy and you think life's just can't get any better and it's just, everything's just in place, you've got to remember that when you're in the valley, mm-hmm, because the valley can be a long season, mm-hmm, and it can be a dark time, but remember what was at the top of the mountain and use that to get yourself through the tough times. Mm. And that's exactly what we did. We just used prayer and we just tried to stay positive, and yeah, and that was just in having the right people surrounding us.
Mm. And then the appointments continued until there was one day when you got some unexpected news, but good news.
Yeah, we'd kind of went back and forward for a good few months. And I was, they'd spoke about surgery and things, and then one day I got a phone call, and it was, I had surgeons, I had nurses, I had dietitians, I had loads of people that were in my case looking after me, but I had a nurse that I was, like my liaison, I suppose would be the right word, and she phoned me and said, I'm not quite sure how to tell you, but everything's came back clear, everything's fine, and we don't know how things have changed and how things have progressed, but you're okay, you're fine. And I says, oh, I know why. I says, God's healed me.
Wow.
And she, well, that kind of ended the conversation quite quickly. So hung up the phone. So I'll phone Adele. Adele didn't answer. Okay, I'll phone my mum. She didn't answer. I'll phone Adele's mum. She didn't answer. I'll phone Pastor Neil. He didn't answer. I was like, I need to tell someone. So at that point, Charlotte was in the house. It was just me and Nathaniel. Maybe must have been sleeping. He was only very little at the time. So I called Charlotte through. And we had not really told Charlotte everything that was going on. We just said that I was a little bit unwell and I was going back and forth to hospital. So I said, Charlotte, remember Daddy had been going back and forth to hospital and been getting tests. And she went, yeah. And I says, well, I'm fine. I'm all better.
Come on.
And she went, yeah, God healed you. God's good dad, and walked away.
Wow.
Just childlike faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was more flabbergasted by what she said than what the doctor had said. And that was true. Yeah.
My. It must have been quite something, though, to hear the reaction of the, obviously, what Charlotte said, but the specialist, the doctor, when he couldn't understand.
Well, they had spoke so much, like, you know, they'd put so much, I suppose, they have to tell you the worst. Yeah. And they had said, you know, you could not be here in a year. You need to speak to Adele about you not being here. Mm. You're going to get surgery. It's going to be quite, it's quite big surgery. Mm. It's not keyhole. You're going to be out of it for a long time. So when it was flipped and it was like, you know, no surgery, everything's okay. It was a little bit like, it just blew us away, didn't it? It was just crazy.
And how have you been since then? Because that's a number of years ago now.
Perfect. Yeah, great. I went back and forward. It was meant to be for, was it five years? That they were going to do tests every 6 months. Mm. After a year, they went, yeah, you're fine. We'll just discharge you. And yeah, full bill of health.
Wow. Come on. Praise God.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, we can see how God moved in that situation, how he turned it around and brought a miracle into your body. And I guess there could be people watching right now who are maybe going through a similar challenge. Maybe it's a health journey or maybe something going on in their world, and sometimes it's not necessarily them, it's someone who they love. And I wonder, Adele, what would you say to them today to encourage them to keep on going and moving forward?
Well, the other thing that happened at a Cherish conference was Natalie Grant was speaking, and a lot of her merchandise was faith, not fear. Mm. And that, for me, is something I would have spoke over us quite a lot. Faith, not fear. We've used it since with lots of things. If the kids have gotten a scare at something like a noise or anything that means they can't sleep, I would use that. We've got faith, not fear. We'd often recite that verse that can with a spirit of faith. I think that's important. Dinna let fear get on top of you.
Yep.
Be faithful. Mm-hmm. Ask people to pray for you. Ask a church to get behind you and pray for you, or pray for this person. If you think that's too big, ask a small group. Mm-hmm. Can just a couple of people, mm-hmm. ask them, do you mind keeping us in prayer? Because prayer made a big difference. And praise and worship music. Mm. When all else failed, we would have just put on some praise and worship, whatever it is that you relate to best. Mm. And get your heart going and just pop some on. Mm-hmm. And when you've not got the words, God can your heart. Yep. So
we still do it now.
And we still do
praise and worship.
Yes.
Is our
it's powerful.
Music is our thing we turn to for.
Yeah, it's
and
powerful.
fixed it. So he knows better than we can put into words at any time.
But praise and worship is so powerful. It can change the atmosphere in your home, and if there is a sense of heaviness and maybe discouragement, it can lift your faith.
Yeah.
And I love that, Adele. Faith over fear. And I guess that really encapsulates a lot of what we've spoken about during our advanced series, how we can't live in fear, we must live by faith. And I'm sure that's going to be a great encouragement for someone who's watching this today, that there's hope for them too. And Kenny, maybe someone who's in that position that you were in, that maybe things are looking like are really challenging for someone. What would you say to them right now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously mine was health, but you know, it could be financial, it could be a number of things, but I think the best thing is what men aren't always good at is opening up and speaking about it, and is whether it's one person or going to your pastor or going to someone within the church and just surrounding people that can build you up. God might bring someone into your life just for a season, but God will bring people into your life that will help you and will lift you up and carry you through this. And you know, one thing also is staying positive. Don't let things get on top of you. A bit of scripture that's kind of been in our us as a couple and as a family is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And that is just what we held on to. And you know, God knew what was going to happen. And it is just, yeah.
Amazing to hear this part of your story, part of God's plan for your life, as he brought you through this, a situation that you'd never choose to go through. But now you can look back and see how God was faithful, how God was good. And it's encouraging and inspiring for us to see how you depended on God through that time. That you didn't turn your back on him, but you ran to him, and he helped you through that. And I'm sure you've encouraged people today. And hey, I guess if you are watching us today and you've been impacted by what you've just heard Ken and Adele share about, they've referred so many times to their God, to Jesus, who they know personally. And maybe you find yourself today and you recognize that you don't have that relationship, then if you're going through a difficult time, he promises to never leave you and to never forsake you. But you need to be in that relationship with him. And he came into this world to make it possible for you to know your Father in heaven in a real way. That even in the most challenging of times, he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. And I wonder if you're watching right now and you would say, Daniel, I want to know him in that way. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Well, if you are, can I encourage you just to take this moment and make this a defining moment as you begin a relationship with him by just praying this simple prayer. Just repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you loved me so much that you came into this world, that you went to the cross, you took my place, you took my sin. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Make me into a new person by the power of your Spirit. I confess you are my Lord. I believe that you're risen from the dead. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, have you prayed that prayer for the first time? We'd love to help you on your journey. Please reach out, contact us so that we can connect with you and help you to grow. Well, Kenny Adele, thank you so much for sharing with us today. You've been such a blessing and encouragement. And I want to pray for you that as you guys continue to flourish and advance in your journey, that you'll know God's blessing and favor. So Father, I thank you for Kenny and Adele. I thank you for what you have done in their lives. Thank you for the miracle that we can testify to today. We thank you for the power of God that has worked mightily through them. We thank you for their encouragement. We thank you for their example and witness. We thank you, Lord, for their family. And we pray your blessing and favor to be upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.